Damas y caballeros, welcome back to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. Remember, follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network. There you can see Andy tagging up all this cool stuff that we're up to and all the interesting things that we upload every 2 weeks or so. But yeah, follow us, give us a like. We appreciate it. Spread the word to friends or foes. Let them know about the might of Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. But to get the podcast going, let me introduce my other two hosts. First, I got Noel.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
And next, we got Andy.
Yo, Andy's here, the man who was raised on beans and tortillas.
Damn right, man. Pigs like it too, man.
That's what I hear.
Yep. But this is Freeform Radio again. We're going to jump into it with some conversation with Noel. In particular, this Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz, man. After watching Chuck Noel, I gotta admit, I felt about as old as he does, and you know, I think my leg kicks are probably as slow as his. What were your thoughts on the fight, man?
I was really shocked that it even got put together to begin with. I don't know how much they had to pay Chuck Liddell to do this, but I know Tito was down for it from the beginning. This is kind of like his chance to make up for the two losses he had throughout his career. And Liddell, he is 48 years old, going to be pushing 49 soon. And he did show a couple of videos of his sparring, and it just wasn't anywhere near where he used to be.
Yeah, it was brutal, man.
It was really sad to see it.
Yes.
And the thing is, he has a warrior mentality, so I can understand where he's coming from on wanting to fight again. But his body just couldn't cash that check, you know? And so he fought Tito Ortiz, and he lost in the first round. He got knocked out, and it was a pretty bad knockout, pretty brutal.
Yeah, that fight, I know we talked about it a couple, I don't remember if it was last week's or a couple podcasts ago, and I saw the hype because it wasn't even a Bellator. It was the La Jolla's promotion, whatever it was.
Yeah,
Golden
Boy.
Yeah, so, Golden Boy Promotions.
And I was like, "Wow, who? They're not even fighting for Bellator." So that's what caught my eye, and I started seeing like the workout and the hype, and then I saw the fight, and I'm just like, "How did he ever get a fight license, Liddell? Or they let him fight the athletic commission?" Because what you saw out there was, it was sad, dude. And you know, even when Chuck was in the UFC, I felt he was already kind of old. And to see him like this, it was. I don't think he needed the check. He just, I think Tito kind of begged him to do this because at the post fight, Tito was thanking him a lot for taking the fight. So I don't know what kind of split they had in money wise or what, but I think it was more than money. I don't know if they're trying to get something off the ground or what.
It's hard to know all the details in the background. I don't know how much they got paid. I don't think they've disclosed that yet. But I Chuck, from what he was saying in the interviews before the fight, he wanted to get back in the ring just because of his love of fighting. Like, he's always liked it. And I don't know if he got paid a lot. I imagine they did, you know. De La Hoya, he's pretty decent at organizing events. This event, however, did have its hiccups. A lot of people criticized them, Dana White especially. A lot of people were thanking Dana White for not making this fight because like it would have like tarnished the UFC's reputation. And Bellator surprised me because, like you said, I was under the impression it was going to be Bellator as well.
That's what I thought.
They have kind of already a somewhat reputation for making these kind of fights. And so, you know, kudos to them for not doing that. Liddell is definitely past his prime. And Ortiz is too, but because Ortiz, he had some bad blood with Liddell, I think, and that's what got him to be, enticed to come out of retirement. But he did say after the fight that he's definitely retired now. And good for him. You know, he ended his career on a high note. He got his revenge against Liddell. And hopefully Liddell, whatever money he gets, hopefully he still is able to like lead a comfortable life after this, because that head trauma, man, that's not going to help him.
Right. I think Ortiz looked really good because he was fighting Chuck, and Chuck is such an older fighter. But like Andy mentioned, even when Chuck was still in his fighting shape in the UFC, I thought he was kind of on the older side, kind of like one of those Couture guys, where he's an older fighter, but because they're the first ones to UFC, that's why they kind of were on top. But now that these newer, younger guys, that they integrate in, nutrition into the workouts, now they're like these super fighters, and there's no way that they would be able to compete on that level. But at the same time, man, I don't want to crap on the De La Hoya thing. I think there should be some type of area for these older fighters, so that they can have these, you know, fights every now and then. I wouldn't mind seeing Hoist Gracie and maybe not Chuck Liddell, but Couture, you know, having another go around. I think it'd be interesting, even though it'd probably be slower pace and kind of be like this fight where it'd be a one-round submission or knockout or something. I think just the spectacle would be a little entertaining myself.
I have seen stuff on social media that they should have, like, some people, what I've seen, called it a Legends Division, where you can have some of these fighters who can still fight, but they're not in their prime, but they're in great shape. Still have them do a couple things, but, like, I don't know, man. Like, I was reading the other day that Silva's coming back. When's the last time he fought? Hasn't he fought, like, in 4 years or something? It's like, he's had, a long layoff, hasn't he?
He's had a bit of a long layoff. Yeah. Not too long. It's been about a year and a half, maybe two at the most. Definitely not more than that. He was suspended because he got caught with by USADA.
Yeah, he was juicing.
I wouldn't say juicing, but he definitely got caught for some banned substance, and it could have been from a tainted supplement. But, you know, even if it's tainted or even if it's without your knowledge, it still counts, and you still get banned for that. He's going to be fighting Israel Adesanya. That's going to be, I believe, next year. That'll be interesting to see. They did mention they want to do, like, or a lot of fans would like this. They call it a veterans division, so, like, more like for the older fighters that are maybe past 40. But the thing is, it's not very healthy to do this. You can definitely get injured a lot easier in your 40s. Your ability to recover is also less. So even if they did do this, it'd be hard to see, like, any commission really approve this. And the California State Athletic Commission got a lot of flack for approving Chuck Liddell to fight. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with that. But that's just one thing I did over the weekend. I've also been playing this game called PUBG. It's called Player Unknown Battlegrounds. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that one.
No, sir.
Yeah, I've heard of it. It was one of the first Battle Royale before Battle Royale Fortnite came out. So they were one of the first inventors of that style. But for some reason, they're not as popular as Fortnite is right now.
Yeah, so Player Unknown Battlegrounds, short name is PUBG. It's a game that came out a while back, actually. It's over a year old. It definitely spawned a lot of the newer games that are coming out. Call of Duty has an arena shootout now. Fortnite, like you said, is very popular. But the OG is PUBG. And that's the one I've been playing. My cousin Robert, he's really into that. So I kind of got into it, too, with him. And we'll do. You could either do solo missions, you could do duos, or you could do with a squad of four. And you're fighting against 100 people. If it's solos, obviously you're fighting 99 others. If it's duos, you're fighting 50 other teams. If it's squads, you're fighting 25 other teams. So pretty much it's one of the more realistic first-person shooters I've ever played. And it's very much a challenge, to the point where if you have a military background, you're probably going to be at an advantage versus somebody who's just never had any experience with an open world shooter. Most shooters, you know, things like Call of Duty, things like the game I played before, it was called Fear. These games, they have it like where you're in close quarters combat, you're fighting in a building, or you're fighting in a very small, like a smaller map, pretty much. And the maps in this game are miles wide, like ridiculous size. You could be running for 20 minutes and to get to the other side and probably not make it alive. So it's right. It's pretty interesting. But you guys aren't really FPS players, right?
No, not really. Have you played Fortnite? Can you compare it to that, or you're not interested in Fortnite?
Nah, Fortnite to me is like a kiddie game. I don't want to like make fun of people who play it. I mean, that's
it's okay.
If you guys like it, you guys like it. But to me, it's always been like, this is more for like people that are in their teens, like 12 to like 16 to 18. If you're older than that, I think there's better options out there for you. Especially because the main audience, the people that are playing out, there are a lot of kids on there. And it's like, I don't really feel like that's, I mean, they are very talented sometimes, but I don't feel like the conversation, the environment is catered to like my age level. When I play PUBG, it's a lot of older crowds, a lot of people that you can kind of talk with and converse with. And if they're on your team, you can relate to them and communicate better. I feel like a lot of kids that play the games, like in Fortnite, there's just going to be a lot of toxicity in there. At least that's what I've seen.
Toxicity? Talking shit?
Well, there's people that are older that'll talk shit to these little kids. Like, for example, if you're playing an FPS game, don't ever tell anybody your age. If you have an older-sounding voice and you're, like, young, don't tell them, hey, I'm 12, because that's going to get you singled out immediately. And everybody's going to want to just go and just destroy you. And there's a lot of trash talking in there. There's also a lot of, like, cheapness. When you build, you can build really easily. And you can build to the point where people can't really attack you. They have to be out, like, in the open. And I'm not really about that. I think that's not realistic, you know. In PUBG, it's more realistic. You parachute down. You're looking for guns. You're looking for accessories to the guns. You're trying to not stay out in the open. You're constantly on the move. You're very aware. You're using your scopes and your snipers. You're trying to take shots, and you're trying to worry about how far that bullet's going to go, if it's in the drop, if it's going to miss the target, if the wind is blowing too much. There's so many variables. It's very much more realistic, and the graphics are a little different. Fortnite, to me, is like the World of Warcraft for first-person shooters. It's more like, to me, it's catered to like a certain style of a gamer.
Right. I never played PUBG. I've only seen some videos, and I've played Fortnite just because Junior's forced me into playing with him. And I gotta admit, yeah, Fortnite is an easier entry point to me, because it has that kid theme where it's kind of on the fun side more than on the realistic side. And where PUBG is more of a realistic shooter.
Yeah, no, it definitely is more realistic. It's definitely challenging. I've died more times than I can count. But I'm getting better, you know. Little by little, you get experience in that game. You start getting better, and it starts getting more fun. Definitely in the beginning. In the beginning, you're going to be so frustrated with yourself and with everybody else. It's unbelievable just how difficult this game can be. But another thing, too, is that the game is kind of lacking in the budget that these other companies have. Some other companies that publish, like Call of Duty, for example, they have a bigger budget, so they're able to make a much more smooth game, whereas PUBG does have its quirks, does have its kinks, and its bugs to work through. But for the price tag of $30, you know, it's not bad. Unfortunately, I didn't get to take advantage of the Black Friday deals. So, yeah, I was kind of let down about that. But, I mean, it's still a good game regardless. But, yeah, that's pretty much my weekend. And actually, speaking of letdowns on Black Friday, Andy, I heard you had something similar.
Yeah, this Black Friday, you know, in the United States, for all you people and around the globe, you know, I read this year that a lot of other countries celebrate Black Friday or celebrate, I don't know, we celebrate it, but they have their own Black Fridays. But in America, it used to be like this huge thing. And this year, I'm not really talking about the sales, like the just the madness that would go on when you go to the store, you know, after after you're eating turkey, because you know it used to be on Friday, now it's right after Thanksgiving. So I did it. Me and my wife and my mom and my sister, we went, and I was expecting like this freaking shank. You know, we're gonna be shanking people, pushing people like in the past. And we went. It was dead. I mean, it was shockingly, it was really dead, more than even last year. So I don't know if people are doing more online shopping or the deals ain't that good. I don't know anymore.
I don't know if I missed it, Andy, but what store did you go to?
So we went to, on Thursday, we went to the Walmart and we went to Target. And usually the Walmart, we have this Walmart by kind of in the out the way Walmart where we feel it's a little bit more laxed. We went and, I mean, there was people there, but nothing like I've seen in the last 5 years. And I feel like it has gone down significantly from its peak where people are, like, pushing each other. I've seen people get shoved. I've seen people, like, push each other to the ground for, like, games and cheap, like, you know, DVD players, Blu-ray players. And today,
it's worth it, man.
Now it's just like, hey, yeah, what's going on, man? Oh, yeah, can you get me that soundbar over there? Yeah, thanks. It's just like, I was shocked. You know, I was like, well, we're going to run out of stuff. We're going to do, you know, they're going to sell out of this one particular item. And there isn't, you know, there's nothing happening. I guess that's where I'm kind of disappointed. It was calm and orderly.
I think to me, and this is just my opinion, I'm not really sure on the numbers and all that, but I think a couple years back, I think it was like really trendy to be into Black Friday. Like everybody was into it. Like, yes, this is like an unknown holiday, but now it's like it's everyone's kind of lost that like excitement for it, especially because you can order online, whereas like 10, 15 years ago, maybe even a little bit farther back, most people would order like go to the stores, they'd have to look at the paper on maybe Wednesday or Thursday to see what the sales were, and then they'd try to rush to the stores on Friday. Now with everybody in their smartphones, you could just do everything online through the app or whatever.
Well, that's the thing. Right. I feel what killed it was the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that does have something to do with it because back in the day, you didn't know what the sales were until – you know, the day before when you would go out and get the newspaper and you would see the you know, phone book thick sometimes or whatever newspaper you picked up to see all the ads. Now, a week before the sales even start, they're already out on the internet. So people are already planning on, all right, we might have to go to the store for this because this is an in-store deal only. These other things, I'm going to shop online. So I think it is a little less chaotic as it was in years past, and I agree with you on that. It's a little more dead, at least for people who are somewhat tech-savvy and can do online shopping.
Well, that's what I'm saying. To me, I think the when it started coming down is when you there was websites who were getting the ads early, like, and people were just like, holy shit, like, you know, we got to go here and we got to go there. And, like, ads were, you know, being leaked. And then they put the kibosh on it. And then now the ads, like, even those websites, they're just like, oh, we got this ad. They're like, the stores are releasing them, like, literally early, like, way early than ever. And people are just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to just go here or I'm going to go there or I'm going to just wait to Amazon. I remember, and then, you know, they start opening up on Thanksgiving. And that was another big deal, and like we're never closed. Like you used to drive around and people be waiting in line at the stores for Friday morning. You don't see that no more.
I think part of it too is the way technology is right now. So like for example, the newest TVs right now is what, like 4K. Maybe they might even have something newer coming out, but like 4K is probably like the best for Black Friday, like average, right? So let's say last year or 2 years ago, people got these 4K TVs when they first came out. And then now it's like, what's the incentive to get another? And if you have a PlayStation 4, why would you want another? Like, most of the gadgets and things that are on sale, I feel like people already got it, you know, last year or the year before. And it's just like a newer model that doesn't really have anything new to offer. So more than likely, people are just like, well, I'm not going to go and buy that. And maybe some of the other things that are on sale, it's not even worth, like, the drive to the store and the hassle, you know, to wake up early after you're hungover from Thanksgiving and just stuffed still and dropping endless deuces.
Well, I'm ready to go to the store and fuck people up for a fucking 4K TV, 65-inch, for, like, $300, man. I was preparing myself, but today, all these guys are so betas now. They're pussies. They don't want to fight and shit. They just ordered it on Amazon.
You know what's funny? I almost got in a fight over a 65-inch TV.
That's
like,
what
legit.
I'm saying, yeah.
That was like years ago, but it was crazy. I never thought that day would come. I was like a kid, too. I was like 18, 19 years old, ready to fight a grown-ass man, 40 years old, for a fucking TV.
Was it on Black Friday?
Yeah. Or no, sorry, it wasn't. It was like a after Christmas sale, like something like over the weekend Christmas sale.
All right. Yeah, no, I've gone out Black Friday shopping. When me and my wife first got married, it was still kind of like the old ways, where you would get up at 3 a.m, go stand in line because you wanted to be able to be one of the first ones into Best Buy so you can get that computer for really cheap. Because you knew that only the first, like, 20 or 30 people inside were going to be able to get this item that you really wanted. So you would sit out there in the freezing cold, and Alana would go sit in the car, and then I'll stand out there for a while. Then I would go into the car, and then she would go stand out there for a while for 2-3 hours until the store opens, you know, so you can go get that deal. So I remember those days. And then once we had Junior, it kind of died away. And then shortly after that, you know, the online revolution came, and now it's a thing of the past. I mean, last year, I didn't even go out Black Friday. Last year, I did all my shopping online. I had a chance to do the family thing, go have some turkey with the family. And then when I got home, did some online shopping, did the Black Friday thing, bought the few things that I was looking for, some Christmas presents, some clothes here and there. And I was all set, man. So, yeah, this was I did go out Christmas or Black Friday shopping as well. But it was more lax because we went out Friday morning after breakfast and did our Black Friday shopping, you know, instead of like the hardcore people that actually went on Thursday. Because like Andy mentioned, most stores now, they open on Thursdays.
Yeah, it's just turning into, you know, you mentioned – you know, but your son, I think it's just be a generational thing. He probably never experienced anything we did, you know, growing up, you know. So, again, it's times are changing. The internet, you know, I think killed Black Friday. So it'll probably be there'll be a Black Friday, but it ain't gonna be like in its heyday, you know.
Right.
But, you know, speaking of generational things, one of the things I did this weekend, my wife is like, I don't know, she came out of the closet, but a couple of weeks ago, you know, I talked about Star Trek Discovery, and one of her, she kind of came out and told me, like, I think she's a Trekkie, I think the PC word is Trekker, but she's trying to find more Trek to like. She liked Enterprise. And I told her to watch, you know, the original Star Trek, which, I mean, it's all right. I'm not a big fan of it. She kind of skipped it and went to Next Generation, and she found it rather boring, which I agree with. But I'm like, let's skip the Next Generation, and let's just go. They do have a couple good movies, so I'm like, let's watch Star Trek Generations with, you know, Kirk and Picard. And let me know what you think, and then we can watch the movies that they made. And I haven't seen this movie, I think, in like 10 years, man. I don't know when's the last time you saw it, Danny, or Noel, but I'm still kind of disappointed, you know, spoilers, that you know, Kirk dies in this fucking movie. And I read his book, and he talked about how he was kind of duped into do this movie, that they told him he wasn't going to die. He was going to be the fucking hero. And then they fucking kill him. And then they're like, don't worry, we're gonna do some reshoots. We're still working on how to bring you back. And they just let him die there.
Yeah, that sounds about right, man.
He got fucked over, man. You know why? Because he's a star, man. So that's why that when the movie ended, when the movie started, he's right away to go to Kirk, man, because he's a superstar. But overall, the movie is, it's not too bad. Besides Kirk dying, it was all right. And again, you know my hatred for fucking Data, Danny, that stupid fucking android. Again, he's fucking with chips and emotions and all this shit. I forgot they put that emotion chip in him and he turned into a bitch. And, you know, he was there crying or some shit. And that's about the only good part.
I don't know if you mentioned it, Andy, but what was the name of the movie that you're talking about?
Generations, Star Trek Generations.
Ah, okay, Star Trek Generations.
The one with Kirk and Picard. And Data's in there and the guy, you know... They try to get to the Oasis because Kirk's starting this time travel loop and Picard has to go in there and get him out and try to save the day. But of course he couldn't do it by himself. He had to have Kirk help him. That's one of the things I do notice about in the Picard movies. Picard always has help to save the fucking movie. Kirk did it by himself, man. Movies, man. He said, kill fucking Spock, man. He's like, kill Spock. I'll ride this fucking movie solo, man. And I think it did more money.
Yeah. Picard's the man, dude. He's even in this new Star Trek this TV show that they're going to do. Picard's going to be in there, and he's going to play some role. You don't hear them bring in Captain Kirk back.
They asked him first. And he's like, how much am I getting paid? And they're like, we're going to put you on that paywall. He's like, man, fuck all that shit. I need a network.
Nah, he's a bit of a drama queen, man.
That's because he's a man. You ever read his book, dude? His book is,
sure, it's overacted just like his movie. Man.
He insisted that he kiss all his lady friends in all the acting movies. And when he was TJ Hooker, he insisted he did all the stunts and be all up on Heather Lockyer, man. That's because that's how Shatner does it, man.
All I know is that people take Picard seriously, and people, like, make a meme out of Kirk and his overacting.
Well, Picard, too, man. He's always talking about he needs to go drop a deuce to number one or some shit. He's like, yo, number one, I got to go drop a number two, take the bridge.
All I know, Andy, is that Next Generation lasted twice as long as the Captain Kirk Star Trek did, so... You know, that has a lot to say with it. And especially since people were so enamored with Captain Kirk, how come he only did half the seasons that Captain Picard did?
It's because that was a different time, man. I bet you Kirk had more ratings than him. But going back, it's one of the better movies for the Generation Clan. And like I said, I'm not a big fan of the shows. They had some... Their movies... They have two really good movies... First Contact and what's the other one? I can't even think of the other one. So I'm going to stick to First Nemesis. Contact. Now that one was boring. That's the one with the Picard clone, right?
Yeah, that's the one where he has a sun clone.
Yeah, that one kind of sucked balls.
Yeah, that one wasn't that great, but I think Generations and First Contact are great.
First Contact's it's probably their best one.
Wrath of Khan, isn't that one?
That's with Kirk. That's Star Trek 2. Yeah, that's
the original.
That's the greatest Trek movie ever, man. Kirk fucks up Khan, man. He karate chops him and shit on this exploding planet or something.
Well, I think the reboot has Khan in it as well. Either Star Trek Beyond or I forgot which Star Trek there was.
Not but Beyond, I know the Khan one was in that one.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it.
But, I recommend Contact, or I'm sorry, not Contact. I do recommend Contact, but for Star Trek Generations, it's a must watch. Even though my wife, she couldn't handle Picard's acting, that's why I think she fell asleep. But You know, it is one of the better movies, and you know, now you know, I recommend it, Danny. And I know you couldn't watch this movie because you had a power outage in your house on this snowy weekend. So hopefully you bought a backup generator now that so you never run out of power to watch Kirk kick ass.
I wish I had a generator because it would definitely come in handy. But yeah, like you mentioned, I did lose power. There was a big winter storm that came through the Chicagoland area here. And at first, man, I thought it was kind of overplayed. You know how kind of the weatherman sometimes say that, yeah, 2 feet of snow is going to come down and it's barely a dusting. That was the feeling that I got with the storm because at first they said it was going to start like around 10 or 11 or something. And my son wanted to go see Wreck-It Ralph. So I found the earliest showing, which was a 10 o'clock showing. And we went to go check it out. And I kept telling my wife while we were waiting for the movie to start, I'm like, man, hopefully it doesn't start coming down too bad so that when we get out of here, we can get home in a reasonable time and it's not going to take forever. And when we got out from the movie, it was just raining. And I even told my wife, I'm like, they overhyped this storm. It's not really going to be that bad. We get home. I start watching some more weather stuff. And then they moved it to that the snowfall was going to start like around 4, I think it was, or 6. And sure enough, when I looked out the window around that time, it did start kind of like sprinkling down, but it was nothing too heavy. So I kind of disregarded it. I wanted to watch Green Bay lose to Minnesota for football. So I started watching the Green Bay game, and I was having a great time, man, watching them lose. And I went to bed, man. I'm like, I'm going to go to bed. I didn't even look out the window. I was just like, everything's going to be fine. It wasn't that bad. When I get up in the morning, dude, not even get up in the morning. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I roll around in my bed and we got this hall light on that we keep on because Junior gets kind of freaked out in the dark. And when I rolled over, I noticed that it wasn't on. So I'm like, oh, that's weird. Did somebody turn off that hall light? Because we always leave it on. So I get up and I notice that some of the other little night lights, like we got a night light by the bathroom, weren't on. And then my clock light wasn't on. And I'm like, oh, shit, we lost power. So I look out the front window and I notice that the houses across the street do have lights, but not us. So I was just like, holy shit, we're out without power. So I wake up Alana. I'm like, hey, we're out of power. We get up. We survey everything. Everything looks fine. And it's just like there's really nothing we can do. So let's just hope that the lights turn on back in the morning, you know, because we got work on Monday, or at least I had work. And oh man, when my alarm clock goes off for going to work, no lights. It's starting to get really brutally cold in the house. It's like in the it was like in the high 50s, but you could feel it that it's starting to get chilly, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know about you guys. Do you guys lose any power?
No, I know people in our area, there was certain streets without power, but I think we got more snow than you guys.
Yeah, I think it was out in the west a little bit more than us over here. And to be honest, when I looked outside, there was a good amount of snow, but nothing ridiculous. I think it was under a foot. But yeah, man, it just started getting chillier and chillier. Luckily, my wife's grandmother opened up her doors to us, so we ended up I ended up dropping them off first and came back to the house thinking, you know, I was going to tough it out. But man, a few hours into it, it started dropping into the 40s in the house, and it started getting really, really cold to where I was just like, I'm going to have to go punk out and go to the grandma's house and get warmed up a little.
At what time? So, you know, the power went out overnight, and you're like, were you able to just go back to sleep, or were you like uncomfortable the whole power outage time, or did you just keep looking up waiting to see if something was on?
No, to be honest, I was kind of hopeful and kind of like nonchalant, thinking like, yeah, the power will come back on. It's not going to be a problem. This isn't something that we're going to have to deal with when we wake up. I'm sure it's going to come on. So I kind of went back to sleep without too much reservation. You know, just went, closed my eyes and went back to sleep. And I kind of like it on the chilly side anyways. I don't like it when it's too warm and, you know, you got some swamp nuts going on while you're trying to go to sleep. So I like it more on the cooler side.
Did you get blankets or anything? Or you didn't grab the dog and be like, man, let me get the dog for warmth?
No, it to be honest, it didn't get that cold in the very morning when I woke up for work. It was still, you know, where you could kind of feel like the bite in the air. But as long as you had on pajamas and maybe a hoodie, you were fine. But as the day progressed, it definitely escalated and got pretty bad where you're like, damn, if we don't get this soon, we might start busting pipes and it might become a problem. So I did what Google told me to do. I started trickling the water so that the pipes wouldn't freeze. And before I went over to the grandma's house. But yeah, man, I went a little bit over 24 hours without power. We actually came back to the house and picked up some gear to sleep over. And the whole time I left the porch light on to where, since the grandma lives really close to our house, we can kind of see it from the outside. So Alana just kept looking out that window. And he's like, oh, the porch light's not on yet. It's not on yet. So we went to sleep that night, and then first thing in the morning, Alana got up before me. She looked out, and she came running back to the room. She's like, the light's on, and I'm just thinking, like, ah, she's bullshitting. So I kind of rolled over because I still had, like, another 20 minutes to sleep, and she's like, did you hear me? And I'm like, what? And he's just like, the lights are back on. I'm like, are you real? For real? And she's like, yeah, and even Junior heard it, so he got up, and we took off. We all went back to our house, you know, I got ready for work and took off for work. But yeah, it was a whole ordeal, man. It was definitely something uncomfortable, and you really feel, you know, like the necessity of these things. And when you don't have them, man, anarchy breaks out, and it's really tough to cope without, you know, some of the basic necessities in life. And one of Junior's necessities was the internet, and he didn't have that, so he was definitely really grumpy.
Yeah, no, it's tough, man. The power went out over here like 3 times, but it kept coming back. It was just like 5 minutes of no power, and then it'd come back. 5 minutes, no power, come back. And then finally it stayed on around, I think, like 5 in the morning, and we had it, no issue after that.
When you start seeing some of those surges, do you disconnect your TV? Do you turn off your computers? Are you one of those people that are really paranoid that you start disconnecting all the electrical appliances and stuff?
So initially it happened because I sleep late sometimes. So it happened around like midnight and I was still awake. I was watching some stuff and it just turned everything off. I'm like, oh shit. It came back on 5 minutes later, like I said. And then I'm like, should I use the internet again? I'm like, fuck it. Okay. I'll be on the computer for a bit. And then it happened again. And again, the third time, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to chance anything. This computer is worth more than whatever TV show I want to watch right now. And so I just turned everything off, disconnected everything, and I just went to lay down on my bed with my cell phone. That's not going to turn off, you know? So I didn't want to chance it. I know some people do get, like, really, what was it called? Like, they get really cautious with it. I figured it's just better safe than sorry, but I wasn't that worried.
Right. Yeah, when I was reading for the water thing, I saw a lot of articles on that. And I'm like, wow, man, I've never done that. You know, I got everything on surge protectors, or at least the major appliances. I got them on a surge protector brick. So I figured that's got to be enough, you know. But, you know, who knows? Maybe that's just for really low surges and maybe nothing like the power going out because of a big storm. But just quickly, the last thing that I wanted to kind of bring up is that a big relief was that we got our power back. But the other one is that we finished our Christmas shopping. And I don't know, even know if you guys even started yours, but me and Alana like to start ours right around Black Friday and try to get it done as quickly as possible so we can just co-chill the last month while everybody else is, you know, beating traffic and, you know, trying to fight each other in the malls, like Andy mentioned.
That's the best part, fighting with people.
did you guys start your Christmas shopping, or do you guys even buy Christmas presents?
I bought some gifts for some family up in Minnesota, but that's about it. I've been finding it more every year as I get older. It's just easier to give out cash.
Wow, is that right, man?
It is for me.
Yeah, I've heard that. Wow. Some people just like cash, but I don't know. I feel like it kind of loses, like, any kind of, I don't know, like, thought, any kind of, like, meaning at that point.
Usually I buy, like, a couple, like, a gag gift from my mom. Usually give her, like, an ugly pair of socks or some random movie. She's like, what is this? Like, it's a good movie. And she's just like, oh. And then, like, I seen her get, like, this depressed look on her face. And I'm like, right. Open it up. And then she sees, like, a gift card or cash. And she's like, oh, I'm like, just go buy whatever you want. I don't know no more. Like, it used to bother me. Now I'm, like, sold. Like, I don't give a fuck. I'm just like, here, go buy whatever you want with this money.
Yeah, I'll give that to you, Andy. It is becoming difficult to buy presents sometimes. I'm so self-conscious to that. Do these kids, because I only buy presents for the kids. I don't really buy any for adults.
Yeah, exactly.
But it always makes me think. I'm like, man, are these kids going to like this? Are they too grown up where their face is down on a tablet that me getting them a G.I. Joe or something like that, they're going to be like, man, this is stupid. Who wants to play with this?
G.I. Joe, so, corny.
Yeah. But, yeah, man, it is becoming extremely difficult, and I am tempted to just give out gift cards or cash, but, nah, man, I can't give up the good fight. I got to try my best to try to find something that'll suit the people that I'm buying. And I've never had anybody tell me anything bad in my face. Maybe they talk shit behind my back, but I've never had a gift returned back to me. So
yeah, they're like $20. Man, fuck this motherfucker, man.
$20 don't even buy $19. Know, what was the man. Same from the?
Like, I can't even buy fucking value meals with this $20, man. $5 don't buy you shit.
Yeah,
man. It's getting too materialistic, dude. Like this holiday.
Right, and I do think that's a big part of maybe some of these newer generation kids. Is that it's all about the gift and not so much about the thought and not so much about, you know, what the Christmas holiday is supposed to be about. But, you know, that's not for me to you know, express this upon these kids. That's for their parents to teach them. And, you know, I try my best with Junior as well. When their uncles ask him, you know, what he wants, I tell them, don't ask him for a droid or some kind of robot or something like that, something expensive. And it's just like, because it's not about these big gifts. It's about the thought. Give them something simple that you might like. You know, that's what you got parents for, to buy you this bigger stuff, or you could save the money up yourself. And that's not what the holiday is about, not getting this big-ass present that you've been trying to get the whole year.
You know what we should do one day, Dan? My mom, when she was a kid, I used to ask her when I was a kid, what did grandma buy you for Christmas? She's like, man, they didn't buy us anything. She made it. She got me enchiladas, and I'm like, enchiladas? Who fuck want to eat enchiladas for Christmas? But you know, when I was that year old, they were poor, and that was like, you know, something special that they did on special occasions. So I'm like, I get it. You should try giving Junior some enchiladas or something. Some like food. I want you to record that reaction. You're probably thinking like, what the hell is this? Or like a pizza or something.
Right. It is a different generation, man. Yes. And I remember asking my mom as well and my parents. And sometimes it would just be candy. It'd be like, yeah, they bought me a couple candy bars. And so it was like the kind of thing that you never got all the time. So it was a huge thing to them. But now to Junior, even while we were Christmas shopping for his thing, me and Alana, we turned to each other and she's like, what do you get a kid that has everything? A kid that, you know, anything that he wants, you know, normally he's able to get. So what do you get for him? And then you get your thought starts going, well, if I get him something simple and small, you know, like a board game, is he going to be like, what the hell is this? You know, last year I got a racing car or something. You know, I don't even remember what we got him last year. He's going to be like, what's with the board game this year? So, you know, it is kind of difficult to buy stuff for these newer generation kids. But you know, I try to instill in him that it's not all about the gift.
You know, what I'd like to see is like some families getting together, like our families getting together, like some Bill Cosby or some Full House type stuff, where you got the family helping out other people that are in need. So if, like, for example, if your kid got everything under the sun, he wants for nothing, well, teach him to give to somebody else that has nothing. So that way he has that that connection with Christmas in a different way. It's not so much material. It's about giving. It's about caring. It's about positive things, not just money and possessions and gimme, gimme, gimme selfishness.
Right, right. No, and I do think that's a big problem in society now, especially people that are used to getting things and then they don't get anything. They become very violent and very crazy. In particular, this lady for our article of the week. We have a lady that beat up and choked a McDonald's manager, and get this, because she was missing her ketchup in her order through the drive-thru. So the article for this week, I think it was in California. Yeah.
Yes.
It was in California. This chick, she just went nuts, man. She had gone through the drive-thru, ordered something. I don't think they disclosed what she ordered or what was it. But I guess when she looked in her bag, she didn't get ketchup. So she walks in, and they got video of this too, which is the other funny part. She walks in through the back, like through the employee-only access area, and she confronts the manager, and the manager is just like, you know, giving her the usual, you're not supposed to be here, you need to leave, get out of here. And the lady snaps, man. She starts choking, punching the manager, demanding to get her ketchup that she didn't get with her bag. And I don't know if it's like Gin and Jude's where they don't give you ketchup unless you buy something or unless it's appropriate to the meal that you're buying. I have no idea. But this lady went nuts. And it was pretty sad to see that people get this irate over something so stupid and so simple.
It's only that's first world problems, man. Yeah, she the article doesn't. I saw the video, but the article we're gonna post says that not that she didn't get it. There wasn't enough ketchup. So whatever the fuck that means. So maybe she did get like one packet, and she's like, well, "What the fuck is this?" Or they really don't go into detail. And then the manager in the building said the woman became combative and began pushing, punching, and choking the employee. So I'm like, damn, man, this not enough ketchup drove her fucking crazy. And I love seeing videos and articles about people snapping, and it's always McDonald's. McDonald's or Burger King, because I guess they're the world's largest fast food places, but this shit just, like, it's one of my guilty pleasures, like, watching videos of people fighting at fast food restaurants.
It gets crazy. There's a lot of savages out there.
And then
that's why I just got hangry.
There's food. They're not starving. You know, people generally should be civil, and they're losing their shit over basically what I've always called fast food, fake food. It's like processed food to the bone, and they're losing their shit over stupid stuff like not enough ketchup, or they fucking got an order wrong, or something.
Get the chicken nuggets.
Yeah, dude, it's just like, you know, the people just fucking losing their shit, and like this in America, it's just like, I want to call it an epidemic, because that's what people get upset about, is that. And it's like, you're spending literally, I'm thinking less than 10 bucks, maybe 20 bucks on shit, and they're going fucking bananas over this stuff.
Right. I forgot to mention to you, Andy, but I usually watch the news in the morning, mm-hmm. Either on the internet or on the old school TV. And I actually saw an update on this lady that they had arrested her and charged her with assault. And I guess she's in custody right now, or at least what the news mentioned, that she was in custody. So I don't know if she's out on bond yet, but yeah, they caught this lady. She was in her 20s. So yeah, it's crazy, man. It's crazy that people go nuts like this. And I think, Noel, you had mentioned something else too. We're kind of briefly discussing it with somebody going nuts in GameStop, right?
Yeah, so there's this new game, Fallout 76. I'm not sure if you guys have heard about it.
Terrible game.
Yeah, no, it's really very, very bad. I haven't played it myself, but I've seen so many YouTube videos. I'm convinced that, you know, they're telling the truth, that it has to be as bad as what they're claiming. So Bethesda, which is known for making a lot of good games, quality games, they're a AAA gaming company. They made this Fallout. It's kind of like its own standalone game from the whole series. And so anyway, this Fallout 76 came out, $60 price tag. They announced it was going to have all these features. You're going to be able to play online, et cetera, et cetera. They got the people buy it. And on day one, it's riddled with bugs, which is for those that don't play games. We don't mean like literal bugs. It's littered with like issues in the programming and the code, things that glitches and things that shouldn't be happening are happening. And a lot of the features that were promised aren't even available on day one of launch. A lot of the YouTubers are claiming it's the equivalent of buying a car and having no tires on it to take it off the lot. So it's like you have a product that is launched and you're paying the full price for it, but you're not getting a working product. So people that are enraged about this, they want a refund, right? Unfortunately, you can't get a refund from GameStop. You can't get a refund through Bethesda. The only people that usually give a more like a relaxed refund policy is like Steam. Steam is a company you can get it from online. But unfortunately, they did not release it on Steam. So you could really only get it through retail stores or Bethesda directly. And through these retail stores like GameStop, for example, they weren't giving the refund. So this person that went there is probably in his 20s, it seemed like. They have a video on it. If anything, we could probably put it up when we put this episode up. But right. The video shows this person in GameStop asking for a refund. They calmly tell him, hey, sorry, we can't. You know, we can give you a credit of 28 cents in-store credit. $60 paid. Here's your credit for 28 cents. The guy got so pissed off. He wrecked the whole freaking GameStop. He just started like throwing down games, like the aisles. He just started like all these promotional things. He just flipping it over. Games everywhere. The guy was so pissed off. And honestly, I wouldn't take it to that level because poor manager, it had nothing to do with him. It has everything to do with Bethesda and their crappy game. But, yeah, unfortunately, that manager paid the price for it.
I don't know if you saw the video, Dan. I saw it. He's pissed. And then he makes a comment like, oh, I'm getting pretty pissed off right now. And then I think where he lost it was I watched the video like three times. A customer walks in and the manager started focusing, you know, when you walk into GameStop, oh, welcome to GameStop. Is there something I can help you with? They start pushing. And I think when he focused on that new customer that walked in, I think that's where he fucking snapped. And then you see him just turn around and walk away. And then that's when he starts flipping shit and like pushing down the stands. So I think he was already upset, you know, that he only got his piece of shit credit. But when the manager focused on that new customer, I think that's where he said, man, I just got fucked royally. They're not going to do anything. He's already moving on to the next customer. And that's when he started tearing up the store.
Right. I didn't hear about the 28 cent refund because that would have pissed me off, too. I would have rather him just say we can't accept a return.
I heard the manager
off at 28. That would have been brutal.
I heard the manager say he could only give him a trade-in credit because something to that. I don't know. I didn't hear the 28, but I heard all I could give you is when I ring this thing up, it's just going to allow me to give you a trade-in credit. And I don't know what the value is, but, yeah, he was obviously super pissed.
I mean, like Noel mentioned, this game, I haven't played it personally, but I have seen some YouTube videos just because I was kind of curious about it. Not that much just because I do like Fallout games, but I don't like too much online stuff, and this game is really centered around online communities. And I really like to play games like that by myself. I don't like all these other people running around crazy, trying to teabag me on my head while I'm trying to walk around. It's just stupid. So to me, with this game having that aspect of being online all the time, I wasn't seriously interested in it, but I was curious. And like Noel mentioned, man, you look at it, they're still using this dated game engine. That seems almost from like the PlayStation 3 era. Like they haven't updated it since then, and it's just really dated and old. The graphics look old to me. I'm like, it hasn't progressed. Where when you look at PlayStation 3 games and then you compare them to PlayStation 4, and you compare the old God of War on PlayStation 3 to the new God of War on PlayStation 4, and you're just like, damn, that is an update. These guys really worked hard on making this game next gen. You don't get that feeling with Fallout, and I could see how that guy is upset, but GameStop has nothing to do with that. You bought it, you're stuck with it. I mean, that's the buyer's problem now.
Buyer beware.
All right, right. So I'm looking at the GameStop website, and the trade-in value for a regular customer that's not a member is $20 trade-in in-store credit or $16 cash. So you're spending $60, and you can only get $20 back in store credit.
Oh, okay. So maybe the 28 that you heard was $28. But even then, that's not a lot, man. You're getting half your money back. But, hey, man, that's better than nothing, to be honest. As soon as you buy something and you rip open the package, unless it's defective, there shouldn't be a reason to return it. You should be stuck with it. You're the one that bought it, so... If I buy something, unless there's a problem with the product, you're stuck with it. You're the one that bought it. You know, it's not the store's fault. Now they got to re-shrink wrap it, try to sell it as an open item. You know, it's not the store's fault.
Man, have you seen those videos where people buy pallets or return shit? They still make money off of that, man. They're double dipping.
Yeah, there's a lot of issues going on right now with the whole process. Because, I mean, yeah, it isn't GameStop's fault necessarily. It's definitely Bethesda's fault for selling a shitty game that's not ready to be released. It's pretty much like an early access game. It has the quality of a game that's like in beta version. It's not like a fully released version. But people are paying $60 for this. Right. Actually, they dropped the price down. I think now you can buy it for $30 or $35.
Right. I think on Black Friday, it was like half price.
Yeah.
Well, in today's world, who doesn't know? You can see reviews instantly when the game drops. I mean, you could be more. There's more information now than ever. You didn't have to wait for fucking GamePro like back in the day and all this shit. So I could understand the customer's frustration, but come on, man. There's all access to all fucking sorts of information and reviews on the fucking game.
Yeah, you know, you got a point, but to be devil's advocate, I think a lot of the people that are having this frustration are people that pre-ordered. So when you get announcements for these games, you're like, oh man, this doesn't look cool. I can't wait to play this. I'm going to pre-order, and when it comes in, I'll be the first one to get it. So you're pretty much you're like the guinea pig, you know? You're pre-ordering this game, hoping for the best. And you're not going to know what you get until that day you open it up and put it in the system. And unfortunately for those pre-orders, they all got royally screwed.
You bring up a good point, Noel, because GameStop is notorious for that, man. As soon as you walk in, you could just be hiding there looking at something, and you'll get like two guys coming over. Hey, can I help you with something? And then as soon as you go check out and you're buying some kind of eraser or a pencil that they got there, oh, do you want to pre-order or put $5 down on a game? They push pre-orders down your throat big time. So maybe they are a little culprit, even though I still back the retailer on this. It's not the retail's fault, but they do push those pre-orders really, really bad down your throat.
America. You got to get that sale. It's the point of sale, man. Come on. But everybody knows that half of those people are like their fucking rewards card thing that you pay for. They know the drill.
Right, right. Yeah, I think most gamers know the GameStop drill. I can imagine maybe if you go into Best Buy, maybe you're not as in tune with the gaming world. But if you're going to GameStop, those are usually people that are really into games. I would say at least the majority of the customers are really into gaming. So he should have known the deal. He got burnt, but it's not GameStop's fault. I would have put that anger towards the publisher rather than to GameStop, because they're not the ones that did you wrong with this game. That, like Noel mentioned, it was more like an early access game versus a fully released game.
Man, what's going on here, Dan? Is GameStop giving you money and shit, man? Why are you kissing that corporate ass, man?
I like GameStop, man. I actually got like a $20 or $30 credit, man, from just spending games here and there. You know, they gave me GameStop points or whatever. So, you know, if you know what they're... It's like the McDonald's lady. You go into McDonald's, man, you're getting a $1 burger. What do you want? What is your expectations of this establishment, of this restaurant, of this game store? You get what you get, man. You're going into these places, you're not going to get handed on, you know, you're not going to get waited on hand and foot. Oh, sir, would you like a water while you wait or while you're shopping? Would you like to have this complimentary, you know, glass of wine? Yeah, you're not going to get that stuff, man. You're going to McDonald's. You're going to GameStop, dude. It's just like you're going to get what you're going to get, man. Now, spend some good money and go to these high-class boutique stores. And, yeah, man, they'll rub you down while you're trying to figure out what you're going to buy. But when you go to these stores, these McDonald's, you're going to get what you're going to get, man. Sometimes you're not going to get enough ketchup. Oh, no, that's just the way it is. Man.
Fuck that. I need fresh ketchup.
Oh, you want fresh fries? Oh, don't give me that shit on the...
I don't want that shit that's been under that warmer, man. Go fucking whip that shit back up. I want fresh fries and shit like that, shit, man, for that $1. And I got a coupon in the app, so I'm getting this bitch for free.
I think another thing, too, is let your money speak for you. You know, like, for example, for this GameStop one, there's a class action lawsuit against Bethesda now, and they might have to pay all these gamers for refunds, you know, or maybe even more, because it could be considered fraud. Or misrepresentation and like false marketing, because they're advertising this product as complete and it's incomplete. So
right, and that did happen with Aliens Colonial War. Don't you remember that, Noel? Or I don't know if you were in tune with that, but the same thing happened. They advertised the game and it was totally different from what they advertised and they had on the box art. So they got a class action lawsuit and they had to pay all the people that bought that game.
Wow, I didn't know about that, but that's the way you should do it. Instead of being a savage and just making some, like, ruining somebody else's day that had nothing to do with it, you know, it's better to take things and be smarter about it and use your wallet to make a difference. So, like, if you don't like a company's practices, don't shop there. Don't buy there. If you don't like that McDonald's doesn't give you that ketchup, go somewhere else. Go somewhere. Go to Wendy's. Wendy's got that 4 for $4 for you. All right?
Well, speaking of going somewhere else, we don't want your ears to go nowhere else, but we got to wrap this up, guys. So we want to thank you for listening. Remember, you can follow Freeform Network on our usual social outpost, Freeform Network on Twitter and Facebook. We want to hit you messages, or you want to send us emails or questions or any fucking messages, because I know the streets were talking about our last week's episode on that Red Dead fucking review. So if you have something to say.
All you haters out there that didn't like it, eat a dick.
Damn, no shit, man. So if you have, you want to respond to that, send it to ffnquestions@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out our webpage, freeformnetwork.podbean.com. There you find everything. We are all the platforms that we are on, Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean. Don't forget we're on YouTube. Those numbers are going up, so check it out. Don't forget to like and share all those. And for Freeform Radio, we have Danny.
Yeah, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get all violent like that.
It's okay.
I got to be more calm and PC. I love you guys, even though you didn't like my review. And hey, just a quick FYI. I've been using this RoboKiller thing for a week now. Dude, man, I'll be blocking people like crazy, man. So tune in for a review soon.
Yeah, we gotta put up some of those videos, recorded videos for the fans out there. And Noel,
thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good weekend.
And again, this is Andy, representing the longest running podcast on the 1893 Coalition. So we will check you out, guys. We'll check you guys out next time.
Dad.